And so we're starting off this series on spiritual fitness. We talked about last week, we spend a lot of time trying to take care of the body, trying to eat right and exercise and do all these things. So physically, we'll do all right. But I remember seeing a comment a couple of years ago. They said, anything after 50 is just kind of maintenance. I was like, oh. And I kind of laughed at that until I turned over 50. And it's so true. Right? It's kind of like an old car, the check engine light went on. And I don't know why it was on, but I just kept driving it. Right? I feel like that's what my body is. The check engine light has come on a couple of years ago, and I'm still driving, so it hasn't stopped yet, so it can't be that bad. Right? But we spend so much time and energy on the outside. But what really we should be concerned about is our spiritual fitness. And I think as we go towards the days we are in, especially as the church, we're going to have to be spiritually fit to withstand the onslaught of what we're going to see today. To be able to stand against sort of the wave of evil that we're seeing. My prayer, we talk about the idea of prayer. I'll tell you, my prayer has been that down in Washington, that God just kind of mucks up the work down there. I think of when the Pharaohs was coming after Egypt, and God allowed the Pharaohs to get stuck in the mud so they couldn't proceed. When Deborah came forth and led the armies, God did the same thing, took the chariots, and got them all stuck in the mud that the army couldn't proceed. And I'm praying that God will just slow things down. Allow them to fight among themselves so that this sort of, some of the evil agenda that they're really pushing through will not go through. And so, Lord, pray. Just kind of get their chariot stuck in the middle of all this stuff. But what I want to talk about, the idea is, here's the spiritual exercises we're going to go through over the next couple of weeks. Prayer, fasting, study, worship, fellowship, giving, temperance, service, and sharing. This morning we're going to look at the idea of prayer. And it's funny because I was like, all right, a sermon on prayer, this will be really quick and easy. Until actually I started to break it down, and prayer is just so saturated out throughout the scriptures. That in here, it's our communication with God. I found an interesting statistic that 45% of Americans say they pray on a daily basis. And I was really kind of encouraged because when I was looking at this number, I thought it'd be a whole lot less than that. Now, once again, this isn't talking about just Christians. This is talking about anyone who has some faith down to anyone who has no faith. And yet, almost half of our country at least prays to something. And I think this really goes to show the fact that humans had an innate desire to communicate with the sacred. Right? We're body, soul, and spirit. We are just as much a spiritual being as we are a physical being. And I think part of us, even though the world may be lost, that even though they're separated from God, there is that hunger for spiritual things, and they reach out to those things. They tell us even in foxholes, atheists will pray. Right? That desperate cry out to something beyond themselves. And I think we know there is. We know there's something else. There's got to be something greater. There's got to be a plan. And what I think what sort of the secularism does is that comes in. What it is, it takes away that hope. Because if I am just the end all and be all, how sad of an existence is that? But the cry out, something beyond yourself. And a hope in a God and a creator who is in control brings comfort to us in the middle of it all. And I believe humans just have this innate desire to communicate with the sacred. So I just want to go through the who, what, where, of prayer. And this is probably pretty simple. It's funny that I know the last few weeks, Gloria said, that was a Pentecostal sermon. This is probably more going to be a teaching one. I don't know how Pentecostal I'll get tonight, this morning. But this is, I think it's just sort of good to unpack and sort of get a little teaching, I guess, in here. But what is prayer? Here's an interesting perspective, because we always talk about, you know, now you lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to keep, right? Or, well, my dad's favorite one when we go to visit him was, you know, through the teeth, through the gum, watch out, belly, here it comes. Right? We think of these little prayers, these little ditties that we came out and say. This is the perspective, I think, that we should really see how important or how much God values our prayer. This is a picture of what God says our prayers are like. Revelation chapter 5, verse 18. This is a picture from heaven. This is, now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Bowls full of incense that are the prayers of the saints. Now, for years my wife had collected Yankee candles. And you like those, and I like the ones that smell like food. You know, coffee scent, you know, the flower ones, you know, but she'll like a coffee mocha one. I'm like, ooh, right? I'm like, I get hungry. And that scent will just fill the room. Or apple pie. Ooh. Right? Yeah. Smells is one of those powerful things that permeates our brains, that brings memories back. I don't know if you knew that. That our brains are wired in such a way that smell, for your brain to register it, it goes through our memory section of our brain. And that's why smells trigger such a small, strong emotional response from us. Right? I think of bread. I love the smell of homemade bread. And I remember my mom making bread in my home. I can just picture that in my mind. Just that smell just brings me back. Fresh cut grass. Right? Snow. The other day, it smells like snow. I can't tell you what snow smells like, but it's like, oh, it just smells. And I was like, ugh. Right? I don't like that smell. Well, all these fragrances. It's funny. One smell I really can't stand is baby powder, which seems odd. But this has a lot of association, because I associate baby powder with dirty diapers. So baby powder smells like a dirty diaper to me. Now, I know it's supposed to be fresh, you know, right? Baby powder fresh. I smell baby powder, I just think of it as a loaded diaper. And God turns around and says, look, our prayers fill the presence of God with a sweet-smelling savor. Think about that. Our prayers engulf heaven for the enjoyment and pleasure of God. I don't know if you ever thought your prayers being that way. But what is prayer? Prayer is communication. Right? Really, in a basic sense, all prayer is you talking to God, and I believe God talks back. The two-way communication. It's a sacred time. When we turn around and we pray, what we're doing is taking that moment, wherever we are, whatever we're doing, and turning that into a holy time with God. And turn our focus and attention onto Him. And it becomes a sacred place. That wherever we are, you know, that we can pray here in church, and if you pray at home, guess what? God hears it the same. But wherever we are, that becomes a sacred time. Times we can snatch back. I always think of John Wesley, Charles Wesley's mother. And she had something like 12 kids. And how does a mother, who a godly woman, spend time alone with God with all that chaos going on in the home? And now you guys remember what she would do. She would take her apron and put it up over her head and pray. And all the kids knew, leave her alone. This is mom's time with God.
But even in a kitchen with a crowd of kids around, it becomes a sacred time and a sacred place between you and God. Think about what prayer is.
What prayer is not, the Bible warns us, and we talk about this idea with all these sort of spiritual exercises, right? These spiritual disciplines, if you will, that we look at. We got to be careful we don't turn it into a legalistic type thing, right? I get haughty and, oh, I pray 10 times a day. Well, good for you, right? That doesn't make you spiritual. Jesus warns the disciples, it says, when you pray, you should not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corner of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Surely I say to you, they have their reward. Praying does not set up to be impressed and try to impress everyone around you. It's not so other people think that you're spiritual. Right? It's funny because we talk about the idea of prayer meeting, and people are like, well, I don't like to go to prayer meeting because I don't like to pray out loud, right? And I just encourage people, look, there's not a right way or wrong way to pray. You're just talking to God. There's no certain language you have to say. I always thought it was funny. We had a college professor, and he was from Pasadena, this big Maynard, big brute of a man. He worked the running the lumber down the river. Just a big, burly man. A bunch of us were out trying to move the stump. And he comes over and he goes, guys, there's like four of us young guys trying to lift up this stump. And he's like, move out of the way. And he comes up, and he was a big guy. He comes out and we're all like, whoa. I mean, the guy's hands were like mitts. It's like, luckily, God, you know, God's great because he takes people like that and gives them like teddy bear personalities. But he turned around, and I love to hear him pray, because all of a sudden he turned into King James. All of his prayers were these and thous, but it was just poetry coming out of this lumberjack man, hearing him pray. And I was like, oh man, I can't pray like that. But we're not geared to do that. We don't have to all of a sudden slip into King James English for God to understand us. It's just communication with God. But it's not to impress anyone. There's no wrong way. You shouldn't be intimidated. Actually, it was funny. In my last church, we had a lady teaching a nursery class. And she had those little Fisher-Price phones. You know, the little wooden ones? You roll and the eyes go, boop, 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 right? You know what I'm talking about? And she had one for each of the kids. And she'd say, we're praying now. And the kids would go get their phone and talk. And she goes, and the kids would just talk to God. She goes, he was beautiful. And a mother came in and goes, that's irreverent. She's like, you know, came over, Pastor, you need to do something about her. I said, what? She goes, she's teaching them to just talk to God. Like, yeah? Well, they're not doing it right. Well, are they talking to God? Yeah. They're doing it right. But it's not to impress everyone. Matthew 6 warns us. It says, when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Vain repetition. Vain just means empty. Saying a prayer that you just memorized without any meaning behind it is worthless. God's not impressed by the verbiage. And we got to be careful, because it's easy for us to kind of slip into that habit of prayer. I had a deacon once who came up for the offering, and he came up and I asked him if he would pray. I said, do you mind praying? He goes, yeah, I'll pray. He goes, Jesus, thank you for this food we're about to receive. And he stopped. And he kind of recovered, and ever he's like, he goes, Pastor, I'm sorry. He goes, the most time I pray is when I'm about to eat, and it just came out. Right? And it's easy to do that. We fall into routines of prayers, and it becomes empty without meaning and heart behind it. And he talks about here that the Gentiles, the heathens, have fancy prayers. I thought it was sad. You go into some of these Asian countries, and what they'll have is wheels that spin, and They say every time the wheel spins, it says a new prayer. Well, you know what? Those things up there spinning doesn't do anything because there's not a heart behind it. James tells us, he says, you lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. And you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, and you may spend it on your pleasures. Prayer is also not, sir, that gimme, gimme, gimme card. God, you can give me whatever I want. Right? Sometimes I think we think God is like Santa Claus, you know, I've been a good boy, and here's my list of things I want. And God doesn't guarantee to give us everything for us, because not everything is good for us. We talk about the idea of prayer, and sometimes God says yes, sometimes God says no, sometimes God says wait. And there are movements within Christianity where, you know, I see this, guaranteed prayers, that if you say certain words and certain verbiages, like guess what, God will have to answer your prayer. Well, that's not Christianity, that's witchcraft. Isn't it? We're turning prayer into a spell to make God give me what I want. That's not what this is about. Someone likened it to this. You know, imagine, you know, your father says, look, anything in the woodshed you can go use. Just ask me. All right. So you look in the woodshed. Oh, you know what? There's a chainsaw in there. I'm 5 years old. Dad, you say I can have whatever in the... Can I use the chainsaw? My dad would not say yes. Why? Because a five-year-old and a chainsaw... I'm 50 years old and a chainsaw would not be a good idea for me. Right? And we look at God and we look at what he does and works in our lives. That in here, prayer isn't a guarantee that God gives us everything we want. So we sort of talked about the what is prayer, how to pray. Now, you know, do I kneel? Do I stand? What do I do? And actually, throughout the scriptures, guess what? We find people who are standing praying. We find people who are sitting who pray. We find people who bow. We find people who kneel. We lift up their hands. We have people lying down. Guess what? Does your position matter? Not at all. Now, in church, we often say, bow your head, close your eyes. And that isn't some magical position or formula. But usually it's to cut out the distractions. I'm not worried about my neighbor. I'm not looking around. That way I can focus upon God. But you don't even have to have your eyes closed. Actually, if you're driving, I highly recommend you don't close your eyes and pray. Because you'll cause everyone else in the car to pray. Right? But in here, there is no right or wrong position. It's the position of your heart that God's concerned over as we talk to him. 1 Corinthians tells us this. It says, for if you pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with thy spirit, and I will also pray with understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and I will also sing with understanding. Prayer engages all of us. In Corinthians, there, what it talked about is those who speak in tongues and are praying in, they'll say, in a spiritual language, but they have no idea what they're saying. Once again, we've seen this consistently through, right? Whether it's vain, empty words we're repeating, or words that we're repeating that sound spiritual, but we don't know what they are. Right? Once again, that's not true prayer. Prayer is communication with God, and it involves all of us. And Paul says, look, I'd rather pray with the spirit, yes, but also with the heart, that my mind. I know what I'm saying, so I can communicate with God. And prayer engages all of us. It affects us spiritually as we commune with our Maker. It helps our emotions, right? I can tell you, oftentimes my prayers are driven by emotion. God, this is how I feel. God, help me. God, I'm scared. God, I don't know what I'm doing, right? All these things are emotions, and we bring them to God in prayer. And what God kind of helps us do is take our emotions and bring them back down and read the Psalms.
I love the Psalms because David is so real, right? He says, I'm afraid. I wish I was never born. My favorite is, take my enemies and grind up their bones, right? These are all prayers that God, he has set out. And yet at the end of them all, but God, you're still God. And prayer does that to our emotions. It can calm us, give us peace in the middle of all these things as we come to him. Physically, prayer has been proven to show a benefit to us physically. One thing throughout this whole COVID thing, I've spitted this out before, but the one group that has done the best mentally and physically are Christians. Because in the middle of the chaos, we have a God that we can trust in. And prayer engages all of our being. How to pray. The Bible says there's one God and one mediator between Jesus and men, the man Christ Jesus. As we enter the Father's presence, we're told to come before boldly, in Hebrews 4:16, to come boldly before his throne of grace. We come before God the Father, and I am unworthy. Right? I'm a man of unclean lips. And yet through Jesus Christ, I am endowed with his righteousness. And because of that, I am told I can come boldly before the throne of God. I don't have to worry about being consumed because his righteousness protects me. And he brings me into his presence. And I can lay down my cares before the Father, the Creator. All through Jesus Christ. And this verse just makes it clear that there is one mediator. There's one that brings us to the Father, and that's Jesus Christ himself. And I know some people will argue religion, that they'll go through and I'll pray to Mary, or I'll pray to a saint, or I'll pray to someone else, and they'll go to God for me. That is unbiblical. Jesus says, come boldly through him, and only through him. You don't have to go through me. Now people will say, well, Pastor, you pray for me. I have no problem praying for somebody. But don't take that as a substitute for you praying yourself. God wants you to come to him. You know, I often think back in junior high, and you know, there's this girl that I kind of liked. You know, I kind of liked. But I didn't want to talk to her, right? You know, so I talked to my friend. I said, well, will you go to talk to her? And so I waited, and he went over to her, and I'm over in the corner like. And he came back, and I'm like, well, what'd she say? He goes, oh, I didn't ask her that. I just told her that you had a really bad rash. And that you should probably say, you know, she should probably stay away from you. I'm like, what? You know? And that was heartbreak and crash and burn all within 5 minutes. Right? The best thing I could have done is probably gone to her myself instead of sending someone else. God wants us to come to him. Prayer is that intimate relationship between you and God. And the Bible says we don't go through a priest or a pastor, or we don't go through a saint or Mary. We don't go through all these things to God. God says, come to me yourself and tell me and talk to me and spend time together. Now, if you don't like sort of the technical, theological part of it, you want to say how to pray, this is what we learned in Bible school. And we turn around, we pray to the Father through the Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit. All three are involved in the process here. So we pray to the Father, through the Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says this, and whatever you ask in my name, I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. This is one of those verses that says, oh, I can ask whatever I want, and God will give it to me. He says, wait a minute, ask anything in what? In my name. What's that mean? Let me start off with what it doesn't mean. Typically, when I end a prayer, I'll say, in Jesus' name, amen. Right? And some of that is habit, if I'm honest. Some of it is because the scripture says, ask anything in his name. And so I'm asking this in his name. I was at a funeral. And I was really new. I think it was maybe the first one or two funerals that I ever did. I was just a young guy. And I was kind of nervous. And I was at the graveside. And I did the service at the graveside. And I closed in prayer. And at the end of it, I just said, amen. And out of the back of the audience, a lady shouted out, in Jesus' name! I was like, okay. And then afterwards, I was shaking hands, and she came over, and she goes, you forgot to address the prayer. She goes, but I covered it for you. And I'm glad, because, without that, my prayer probably would have just been wandering around like the post office, and who knows where it would have went. God never would have heard it, because it wasn't addressed right. Really, is that what we're talking about? No. Actually, when he says he asks anything in my name, what he says is, basically ask anything according to my will. If you ask anything in his stead, if we ask something that Jesus is asking for, if we ask for something that he wants, he will do it. And it has much more to do with not trying to change God to my will. Right? I think a lot of us see prayer that way. God, I'm going to try to change your will to my will. But I think the longer you do this, the more you realize what prayer often does is changes my will to his will. Right? Have you ever poured out your heart to God, and this is what I want, and in the process of praying and spending some time sort of wrestling with God, that all of a sudden you find your prayer changes? Because it's a two-way communication. Now, I've never audibly heard God, but I felt him. I've argued with him. I've been pressed by him all through prayer. So we ask anything according to his will, he will do it. So that's through the Son. Romans 8 talks about the Spirit's involvement. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the heart and knows the mind of the Spirit is because he makes intercession of the saints according to the will of God. And in here we have the Holy Spirit in our lives. And this Holy Spirit in our lives does a couple different things. One, he takes our prayers and says, okay, what's according to God's will? For instance, I can turn around, Lord, I want a Mustang. And the Holy Spirit's like, he really needs a Ranger. All right, God, give me what your will is. That in here. Sometimes we don't know how to pray. You ever been in that position? Lord, I don't know. Just not that long ago, I was talking to a family and their loved ones in the hospital and not doing well, and it doesn't look like they're going to get better, and they're like, we don't know we should pray, Lord, to heal them. Or, Lord, take them home. I don't know which one that I should pray. And I'm afraid I'm going to pray the wrong one. Right? And actually, I come up and say, God, this is my desire, but God, I want your will to be done. Sometimes our heart is so heavy and pressed. I love this. He talks about groans which cannot be uttered. Have your heart been so heavy and weary that you come to God and you're just like, you try it again, Lord. You know what? That's prayer. And the Holy Spirit can take that prayer, the heaviness of our heart, and take that through the Son and present it to the Father. And this amazing thing happens. Over the years, I've had people in very dire circumstances and hurtful and painful things, and they turn around and you say, come here. And you ever give someone a hug and they're trying to be tough and they're trying to, and then all of a sudden they just break down because
right? And prayer, as we come to the Father, and we don't know what to say, and our hearts are heavy, and we're just like, God.
The Spirit says, by the Spirit, we come up and say, Abba, Father, Dad. Actually, the word would be Daddy. And prayer can be that hug that embraces, allows us to break down and pour our heart. And God says, it's okay, my child.
Now, I want to point out, because in Scripture we have people praying to the Father, and Jesus tells us, we're going to look at here an example prayer, but to pray to the Father. But we do have Stephen who prayed to Jesus. Paul, the Apostle Paul, said, yes, the Lord, three times. So I want you to be so bogged down and said, oh, did I pray to the wrong person? God will figure it out. This is what to pray. Matthew chapter 6 talks about the Lord's Prayer. I do find it's interesting because just prior to this, we looked at the verse where he says, avoid vain repetition. This is the same passage. He's like, look, don't be like the heathens. Don't just repeat empty words. Do all that. And then he goes into the Lord's Prayer. And probably what is the most repeated prayer is the Lord's Prayer. We've kind of turned that into. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong to pray it, but we got to be careful that it becomes just empty. God's not impressed because we memorized it. But there are elements, and I believe this is sort of a model prayer. I apologize if the color on that is not great. But here, elements that are contained in our prayers is our Father in heaven. It talks about our relationship with Him. Hallowed be Your name. Praise. Thy kingdom come. Talking about heaven and God's will. Your will be done. On earth as is in heaven. Praying for God's will. Give us this day our daily bread by asking for God's supply, our dependence upon Him. Forgive us our debts. Forgiveness. Confession. As we forgive our debtors. Lord, help me to be merciful. Lead us not into temptation. Lord, rescue me from sin. And deliver us from the evil one. Help me resist the devil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and glory forever. Worship. These are all elements that can be included in our prayers. Years ago, I came across this example. Have you ever heard of the Acts of Prayer, ACTS? It kind of breaks down these same principles. It talks about adoration. Right? Loving God and worshiping God. Start off your prayer, Lord, I love you. Lord, worship Him and praise Him. Confession. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Confession cleanses that way between our relationship with God. Thanksgiving. Be thankful. You know, it's amazing. Just praying thanks to God changes us. Folks, we have so much to be thankful for, and sometimes we're just spoiled little brats who just want more, 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 more. And then supplication. Come to God with our requests, both for ourselves and for others. Once again, prayer includes worship, confession, thanksgiving, asking for ourselves, and then praying for the needs of others. Incorporate these in your prayers. Now, once again, I don't want you to say, well, okay, here's my checklist. Did I go through all this? None of this is supposed to be a burdensome. But in here, prayer incorporates all this. Remember, these are kind of exercises, right? Things to help us spiritually, to help us improve, to strengthen us in our spirit by doing these things to build up our spirits. And so these things are good to be included in these things. Pray for one another, the Bible says. Pray for our government leaders. Timothy says, pray for everyone, especially for the king. Pray for those in authority over us. Pray for our enemies. Pray for those who despitefully use you. It's an interesting thing happens. Now, I remember talking about David saying, you know, take my enemies and grind them up your bones. I don't necessarily, you know, the disciples said, Lord, rain down fire from heaven. And God said, we don't, you know, right? I'm not saying you should pray for evil on your enemies. But an amazing thing happens that sometimes as we pray for our enemies, what God does is change our anger to pity. And I've seen this, that often so many people I used to be angry with, God has now made me feel sorry for them. And I pray for them. Pray for ourselves and pray for one another.
When to pray? When's the right time to pray? Right? In the morning? At night?
Ooh, I guess. The
Bible says in Philippians, be anxious for nothing. Right? Anxiety. None of you have to deal with that. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplications, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Here's a rule. When you're anxious, pray. When you're afraid, pray. When you don't know what to do, pray. I remember saying this once, and a lady was like, wait a minute, if I do that, she goes, I'll be praying all the time. I said, you know what the Bible says? I will bless the Lord, what? At all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Can I tell you something? As we go into sort of this exercise of prayer, and we start into this idea of always praying. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. Right? Pray for others. I've shared with this before, and we're going to look at just in a moment here. But if the Lord impresses someone on your heart, stop what you're doing and pray for them. I was challenged this years ago, and I started to do this. And actually, what I've done sometimes is, and sometimes I don't tell anyone, sometimes I come with the person and said, hey, last Thursday, was something going on? Because God wanted me to pray for you, and I prayed for you. And sometimes they're like, yeah, I was. It's like, wow. Sometimes they're like, well, no. Well, maybe God used that prayer to, you didn't even know it. But if God impresses someone on your heart, stop. Because I found in my, I would say, you know what, I'll pray for it later. And you know what happened? I never did. And I believe Satan likes to get us distracted. Stop and pray for someone. That in here, we can rejoice and praise in him and everything. Pray without ceasing. Make it a habit of driving down the road and say, God, you know what? That's a beautiful sunset. Or sunrise, depends on what time of day you are. What a beautiful day this is. God, you do good work. Make it a habit of just running dialogue. I always challenge, especially some of the folks who are younger, that if you prayed as often as you checked Facebook, your whole life would be transformed. Right? And it doesn't have to be long, lengthy prayers, but just make it a part of your life of praying. You know, praying before meals and asking God, thank you. Jesus often, we see, took the bread and broke it and thanked God for it, the Father. Thank you for what you've given. And I tell you that it helps you. Some of you are more morning people. And you start off your day, Lord, thank you. Thank you, I woke up. Thank you, I'm able to get out of bed this morning. Lord, bless my day. And maybe you're more of a nighttime person and saying, you know what, Lord? Thank you for this day, for what you've done to me. No rule says you can't do both. But to have times of prayer, can I tell you something? As a father, one of the most times that I really enjoy is every night I put my daughter to bed and we pray together. And it's a time for me and her and God. And sometimes we've seen God answer prayers, and it just builds. I just love that time together. But pray without ceasing. There's a little ditty song that I picked up years ago. I was at a church of Passadumkeag, Maine. I don't know if you guys know where Passadumkeag, Maine is. Small little church. And somewhere along the line, they had a Pentecostal pastor or something there. And he left a little flavor, and he left this little tune. And they would always sing this little song. And so this gets stuck in my head. So I walk around the house, and my family tell me to keep it down. But I love this because I'll sing it through. And I apologize in advance. This is when the hearing assist people turn their things down. I don't know if it's a real catchy tune.
But it's real blessing. It goes, somebody prayed for me, had me on their mind, took the time to pray for me. I'm so glad they prayed. I'm so glad they prayed. I'm so glad they prayed for me. You want to try it? Somebody prayed for me, had me on their mind, took the time to pray for me. I'm so glad they prayed. I'm so glad they prayed. I'm so glad they prayed for me. We're just warming up here. Somebody prayed for me, had me on their mind, took the time to pray for me. I'm so glad they prayed. I'm so glad they prayed. I'm so glad they prayed for me.
What I want to do this morning is, if you need prayer, I just want you to just, I'm not going to ask what, this is between you and the Lord. But if you want someone to pray for you, this is the deal. What I want someone to say is, you know what, I need prayer this week. And I want you to put your hand up and say, I need someone to pray for me. Then I want someone else to look around and say, I will pray for you. Okay? And I want you to do it. Throughout this week, I want you to take that name, write it down, and throughout this week, I want you to pray for that person. You don't need, you know, the circumstances. You don't need to know anything. Just say, Lord, I want to uplift my brother or my sister to you. Can you do that for me this morning? All right? Who wants prayer? Will someone pray for Flo? All right. Okay. And more and more in person can do this, but Kathy's praying for you this week. All right. Who else wants prayer this week? Kathy? Will someone pray for Kathy this week? All right. You see the hands? All right. Natalie, you want prayer this week? All right. You see that? All right. Who else? Gloria? Gloria wants prayer this week. All right. You'll pray for? All right, you do that. All right, who else wants prayer this week? Anyone else? I'll take prayer this week. Will someone pray for their pastor? You don't know how weird I am. I have problems. Somebody pray for me. Mark, you want prayer? Someone pray for Mark this week? All right. Who else wants prayer? Martin, you want prayer this week? Someone pray for Martin? All right. Okay. George, you want prayer? You know what? I've never found anyone who would turn down prayer. I mean that. You'll find, you're out. Ask someone, do you mind if I pray for you this week? I don't care if they're Buddhist. I don't care if they're atheist. I've never had anyone say, don't pray. All right, who else wants prayer this week? Anyone else? Janice, you want prayer? All right, someone pray for Janice this week? All right. Cynthia, prayer? Someone pray for Cindy this week? All right. Anyone else? Rick? You want prayer? All right. Will someone pray for Rick this week? George, you got him? All right. Anyone else? I want you to go home. All right. Why don't you please stand? We're going to sing just the first verse of What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Because we have a friend in him. And he hears our prayers. This week, pray for those. And God will hear those prayers. And this week, be faithful. This person is depending on you.